Hi, you guys. This is your pal, Drew. I'm hanging out with writer Lynn Lamison at her pad with her kitties, kitty boy, and...
Sweet Stuff.
Sweet Stuff. I'm sorry she stuck you with that name, you cute little guy. Lynn is the writer and producer of the film The Lady from Stockholm, which I didn't leave out a T there, guys. That is The Lady from Stockholm. It's an all-sock puppet movie, which is coming to a film festival near you soon. And she's only just begun putting this thing out onto the film festival market, and I get a feeling that it's going to catch on. But let's find out what The Lady from Stockholm is about, because I don't think that I've seen any all-sock puppet movies. If you go to www.sockholm.com, you can look at some images of this, probably while you listen to this interview. What is The Lady from Stockholm, Lynn?
The simplest way to describe it is it's the story of a sock puppet detective named Terrence M. Cotton, who is hired by wealthy socialite Hilda Broom to search for her missing sock puppet mate. So it's the story of how he unravels the mystery surrounding Darnell's disappearance.
It's really a cute looking movie from what I've been able to tell. I'm waiting for the premiere, which is going to be June the 12th at the Rialto Theater downtown Atlanta. I'll have more information about that probably in this article as you read it, so you may be able to click on some links, guys. But basically, this is inspired from film noir stories. It's the classic stories that are taken with a little bit of pun and everything pushed into the sock puppet world. I want to find out who made your puppets and who acted as your puppets, the design and then the voices.
Right. This is an Atlanta-based production, and Evie Wright, who owns a puppetry company here in town called Curious Moon, she made all the puppets. She had some help from Melissa Sandifer and Carol Wright. Carol is also a puppeteer here in town, and... Melissa is someone who works in the film world as a costume designer. She also does hair and makeup. She helped out. She did mostly wardrobe, puppet wardrobe.
That's a specialty.
It is. I mean,
sock puppet wardrobe.
It was actually very hard to find someone who could pattern because there were no... Oh, the cats are having a fight. It was...
No, they thought that was me squealing while I go.
It was hard because we had to have someone who could actually pattern, like actually pattern... outfits for the puppets. I mean, there's obviously no dresses already made that are going to fit a sock puppet, so someone who could actually start from scratch and make an outfit. The other puppeteers were, in addition to Evie, who also made the puppets, we had her partner, Ray Kaplan. Ray is her partner in the puppetry company. We had Vince Tortorici and Annie Peterly. Vince also was one of our voice talent. He was the puppeteer of the lead character, Terrence M. Cotton, and the voice. Then we had some gentlemen from Whole World Theater, which is an improv troupe here in town that's very popular, Eric Goins, Chris Claybo, and R.T. Steckel, and also Melanie Parker, who does a lot of stage and industrial work here in town in voiceover, and Melanie Walker, who also is primarily a stage actress. So basically, four people did all the puppeteering, six people did all the voices, and there's probably 40 or 50 characters in the movie, so it's pretty amazing.
That is pretty amazing, to have the production design and the voice talent, and then to take it into post-production, probably.
Right, and I actually should mention I hired two gentlemen here in town who are film instructors at Emory University to direct it.
And right about here is where I recorded over, where Lynn talked about Eddie Von Mueller and Evan Lieberman, the two directors of The Lady from Stockholm, both of whom are teachers of film. Eddie teaches at Georgia State and Emory Universities. Evan teaches at Emory University, and guys, Lynn spoke very well about you. Sorry that I recorded over it. I'm still learning how to work the equipment. Let's get back to the interview.
I had a set designer named Jeffrey Zorchez, who is an absolute crazed genius. The guy is brilliant, and he literally built us like, gosh, I don't even know, maybe 20 or 25 miniature sets out of paper, paint, and hot glue. He built all these sets, and they look amazing. amazing.
I understand that Georgia State tossed in a little bit of help for you.
Georgia State did. One of the directors is a professor at Georgia State, so they donated the camera equipment and much of the lighting. Feature Systems supplemented our lighting equipment. Basically, the vendors here in town. I was very lucky in that every instance of my needing something, I was able to find at least one vendor that was sympathetic to the project. It wasn't always, you know, like everyone was killing themselves to help me, that's for sure, but I put the call out at each stage for what I needed, and I was always able to find at least one vendor who was interested in helping. And part of it, the script actually had a little bit of notoriety before we went into production. It had been a Slam Dance, one of the Slam Dance winners in 2002. So people knew that, and that was a pretty large feat. It basically was a Slam Dance top 10 screenplay, and they had, you know, over 1,500 submissions that year. And Slam Dance is a prestigious screenwriting competition. It also had scored in CineStory, which was that's out of the University of Chicago, and you know, that was 850 submissions, and it was top eight. And it was a Southeastern Media Award finalist, too, which is an Atlanta-based award. So it had been around the block, and a lot of people knew about it and knew that it was clever. So that definitely helped. It was that people knew it was something that had the potential to be good.
What's really interesting is we're used to seeing actors on screen, and we know what happens when people edit that, is that they've got an actor there and they've got audio. You have to match audio to puppets, or you have to match puppets to audio. How did you tackle that with the lady from Stockholm?
Right. I mean, we definitely did research on that. I mean, for animation, they usually record the voices first and then match the animation to the voices. And we actually had puppeteers who had had to do that, who had had to work from a soundtrack, but they did not like that that way of working. They preferred
the puppeteers.
They preferred the opposite way, and actually, that was truly the only way we could have done it, because we were so under the gun. If we had had to record the voices first, we would never have been able to shoot the thing when we were supposed to. So basically, what we decided the better idea was to put scratch audio. We recorded scratch audio on set, mm-hmm. and then I hired voice talent, and the voice talent just basically tried to match the cadence, you know, using their own inflection and acting skills and voice, but they just had to kind of match the beat that was already established. And that worked out really well, because I actually ended up, I mean, I've rewritten the script probably five times in post, because there were lines that didn't work, or I'd have screenings and, you know, there were certain things that weren't coming through. So it gave me the chance to actually, actually rewrite things, which you just don't get the chance to do that. So basically, we did everything in post. White Dog Studios was very gracious, did probably 80 hours of sound booth in addition to doing our mix, in addition to enhancing some of the sound design, which Jacob Gentry did a wonderful job on, but we were limited in our
Jacob Gentry, director of The Last Goodbye.
He is a brilliant, brilliant filmmaker. He was one of my editors, along with John Swindle, who is also amazingly talented. John played multiple roles in the movie. He was the lighting designer, co-DP, and co-editor, and was a rock for me during the whole time. Mm-hmm. And Jacob, you know, took over as editor toward the end to kind of give us a new perspective, and then also did the sound design. He was a little bit, you know, there was the problem was we had only a limited sound library to work with, and so what he did was a lot of things, like he would put it in the place, but we knew we wanted a better sound effect, and so that's what White Dog did for us. In addition to doing all the sound booth, they did the mix, and they flipped out a lot of the sound effects for us and gave us stuff that was more of what we needed, and it sounded fuller and things like that. So
now, one of your actors,
R.T.
Steckel. I worked on the 48-hour film festival. I guess it was the national winner, Moved, mm-hmm. and R.T. played the lead character on that. And he has since moved to Los Angeles.
He has.
We're hoping he'll make it big because that'll help you sell your project and it'll make us all famous.
I don't doubt that he could. I really don't. He's a perfectionist. He was really funny in the sound booth because we'd do a take and say it was fine, and he'd be like, no, let me do it better. I mean, he was really funny. He was very, not that he couldn't take direction, but he was very self-directing in that he was very self-critical about, he knew his abilities were higher than what we expected of him. And he would make us do more takes. It was really
That's awesome.
Interesting. Yeah, it was. I mean, it was, he's good. And his voices are, you know, I mean, when I tell people, like, he did this, it's amazing because they're all so different. You can't tell it's the same person doing them, which is a real talent.
Now, you sailed past it a little bit earlier, but you are a past finalist in the Atlanta Film Festival for your script for The Lady from Stockholm. But what you did not mention is that you have actually been a winner in the Atlanta Film Festival. So your writing has caught a lot of people's attention. Are you planning on doing more writing, or do you want to do more producing? What do you want to do when you grow up?
I would like to do the writing part. I definitely the producer moniker came out of necessity mm-hmm. to just get something made. But definitely it's writing. In fact, I have another script that will be a perfect pitch participant in this year's Atlanta Film Festival, but I haven't actually finished the script yet, so that's a problem because it's about 2 weeks away. So
that's all right. None of the people from the Atlanta Film Festival have enough spare time to listen to this recording.
Yeah, exactly. So I need to get on that, but yeah, definitely writing is where I want to be. I mean, I want to, you know. I mean, it's fun to be on set, and I'm actually, I think a pretty good producer because I am organized, and it's a lot of what I do in my, you know, quote unquote 9-to-5 job. But, you know, I'm not doing this to be a film producer. I'm doing this to, and not even to really actually be a screenwriter, which, you know, that would be great. I'd be happy with that. But I like to write in general, and I want to write more creative. I mean, right now for a living, I do a lot of business writing, some journalism, and, you know, I'm talking more, you know, novels, screenplays. I want to do pure fiction writing is what I'd like to do.
Lynn, I really appreciate you giving me this time for this interview. I'm looking forward to seeing The Lady from Stockholm on June 12th at 5 p.m.
I hope you will be there, Drew.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I hope that you guys listening out there who are in the Atlanta area might be able to set aside your what day is that of the week?
It's Sunday.
Your Sunday 5 p.m. Schedule, and come on down to Atlanta.
Yeah, get off the couch. Don't be watching PGA or whatever's on Sunday at 5.
Not unless you're sleepy. Are you counting on a lot of kids coming to this? Can people bring their kids? Is there graphic sockety?
Gratuitous socks?
Yes.
It's definitely child-friendly. I would say probably if it was rated, be PG.
What's BPG?
It would be PG.
Do that part again.
I think that if it were rated, it would have a PG rating. Probably children 7 or 8 or older definitely would enjoy it. I think younger kids won't get the story because there actually is a real story for the adults in there, and the puppets may keep their attention. It's a short film. It's just a little over 70 minutes, so if they might wiggle too much, but I think older children definitely. But yeah, it's definitely child friendly. We've been invited to a children's film festival in Orlando in July, so obviously that programmer saw it as being child friendly. So we're still testing the waters, but I think family friendly and just cinephiles will get a kick out of it because of all the homages to film noir and the real, you know, the real complex story with the male anti-hero lead and his fight to find himself and rid himself of his bad characteristics and his internal strife.
I can't see how anybody wouldn't enjoy seeing this movie, especially film fans. And if any of you guys are listening out there who run film festivals or have friends who are on the organizing committees for film festivals, please do have them come by www.sockholm.com. Take a look at it. And if you haven't yet heard from Lynn, send her an email and let her know that you might want to show Sockholm at your film festival, because I think that it is going to be a fun little film, and it's going to catch a lot of people's attention.
Right. Get it on the ground floor.
There you go. Get it on the ground floor. All right. Well, I'm going to finish my glass of wine and wrap this interview up. Lynn, I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, my pal Drew. I'm happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be had here. This is your pal Drew wrapping it up. And the cat's about to lay down on the recorder. So you guys be good. See you on the next interview. Bye-bye.